This is one half of the Good Hands, John Schuyler from TNA Wrestling, and make sure you tune in and listen to Live with Wolfie D. Otherwise, we're going to bum rush your mother.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right. Welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. Jimmy, what's going on today, brother?
Not much, brother. How you doing today?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
I was actually just sitting here thinking. I've seen it on social media, and I actually made a post about it. Oh yeah, I'm surprised you with a topic every now and then. For instead of just a cold bullshit open, right. I'll give you a topic here today. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So I saw where The Rock has trademarked all these different words,
and yes,
one of them is The Nation.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, man, because I don't see how that could be a thing. I'm not mad about it. And when, you know, I posted something and people like, they owe you money. No, they don't owe me fucking money. They did fuck me on the song because I wrote it. But I just don't see how The Nation, what does that mean? Nobody can use it as a gimmick or what? I don't know exactly what trademarking and all that bullshit is. You know what I'm saying? But I just think it's funny that he took that, you know, when absolutely 100%. And I'll be honest here. There was when Cornette called us and said, okay, we don't want you to wear the shorts, but we do want, you know, the same look and all that. And just, you know, Nation of Domination on the hats, the jackets, whatever, you know. Well, the first time on the hats, we put NOD on the jackets. It said, I think the jacket said Nation of Domination on the back. I'm pretty sure if I remember.
Okay. Correctly. Okay.
But yes, I mean, I didn't come up with the name Nation of Domination or anything like that. But on the hats, we had them put NOD because we figured Nation of Domination on some hats would be too small writing and stuff, right?
Right.
So we showed, you know, I forget how we didn't text him pictures, but I forget how we showed him the pictures. I don't know. What did we do back then, Jimmy?
I don't know. Yeah.
Did I mail it to him?
Here it is.
It seemed like that would take too long. But
yeah.
So anyway, he's like, we decided that's too close to LOD and y'all are going to be, you know, involved with them and yada, yada. He said, just put The Nation on it. So we're like, cool. So if anybody could get credit for The Nation, but here's my other point in this is I don't remember whether I wrote the rap first or he said, just put The Nation on the hats. So either way though, it's like, how can The Rock take credit for that name?
Yeah. So this is my theory, and I'm just going to go with it. I feel like that, one, his money, that he paid for it enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, I know we actually, one of the main trademark lawyers follows us on Twitter, actually. I don't know if he was expecting us to get in some business with him or something. But anyway, anyway, we might ought to look into Live and in Color since they're taking everything else now. But, you know, so I feel like if you pay enough money, you could probably get it because if they're not using it. So here's what I fully believe is going to happen now. Mm-hmm. Now that he owns that, I can see videos, DVDs, you know, probably some kind of Hall of Fame induction coming up. Mm. I don't know. I can see something happen with The Nation very soon to where, you know, The Rock's version, I'm sure, will end up going in the Hall of Fame or something, you know. Yeah. And because, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know, man, but I feel like it's a money thing, you know, and poor old
And it got me thinking even more. And here's what I'm gonna get real honest with everybody. It got me thinking even more when I wrote that rap and I didn't get paid for it. We've told that story 100 times that, you know, I guess probably on the thing they give the credit to Jim Johnson because on the CDs and all that, it says, you know, that song, it doesn't have our voices and it says Jim Johnson, who did just about everything. But, you know, as the person that wrote the lyrics to the song that is recorded and is out there and was published by the WWE, I feel like my name should be on there somewhere, you know? And,
yeah.
And I do think I should have got some money for it, but here's where I'm going to get real honest. You know, I don't know how much I would have gotten from that. Okay. But it's no secret that, you know, I've been through the WWE's wellness program more than once.
Right.
And that shit's not cheap and they pay for it all. So I can kind of say, you know, I know that Brian Lawler had to sign away all his royalties to go to rehab after once or twice or something like that.
Wow.
Mine was more than his. I'll just say it. I think it was somewhere. I think they sent me like six or seven times. And
wow.
I don't know how much it amounts to. I can't remember because it's not cheap, bro.
No, you're. Yeah.
So I could say
16,000. It could be 120,000. Who knows? But
yeah. But I mean, I think that covers the song. And it was only on me for needing that help. You know, it's my fault. But they took care of it, no questions asked, and I never paid a penny. So, you know, I can say fuck them for not giving me no money on that song, but then I can also say thank you for helping save me, you know, at certain points. Sure,
definitely. Yeah.
Let me, when I was way, way at the bottom of the barrel, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you this. Did you have to claim that on your taxes?
No.
No? Okay, cool.
No.
I mean, that means it's definitely, yeah, I was just curious. Now, the other thing is the gang vocals on that song. Who's doing that? Do you know?
Me and Jamie.
You and Jamie.
He had us say it, each say it, and then he put them together, and then he like kept doubling it and doubling it, where I don't know the correct term for that, but he made it sound like it was a whole bunch of people and changed the tone on it where it sounded, you know, deeper. Right.
Because it does kind of sound like Farouk's in it too, but you're saying he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, so that's called an octaver. He'll do that and he'll double it and he'll make it sound like there's a deep voice guy and a you know.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's well done. But I was just curious about that. And then so who wrote that? The Nation? Did he say, "Hey, we're going to do this chant, Nation"?
No,
Domination.
No. Well, he kind of came up with, I done had the rap written down and everything, the whole, just all the lyrics, and we did that, and then, he did something where he was like, okay, let's do this, and then he made that little chant in there and everything, and after we had already recorded the rap and put that in there, and so, yeah, I mean, that was his idea to do that part of it, but, just as far as the words go or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's probably the main reason they cut your rap out of it, honestly.
It's still my voice, technically.
I mean, yeah. So you've always got that to rely on.
I'm not crying over spilled milk. I don't want people to think that, you know. I don't want this to be one of those, he thinks John Cena stole his gimmick and all that stuff. I just, fucking give me credit where credit's due is all I'm
sure. Saying. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, man. I think somebody's, you know, needs to rectify something there, but I don't know, man. Yeah, that would be my theory is he just can, you know.
Way he can own the USWA tag team titles that he held once.
Right,
right. I ain't hating, but whatever, man.
Right. Maybe 16 time, you know. Doesn't mean anything anymore, but anyway, so
not little old Memphis, old Memphis in the 90s. I just little indie circuit.
Yeah, man, that's all they was.
Yeah,
that was a super indie.
It was just like us down here in Southern Tennessee. They just like us.
Yeah, it's man,
stronger television.
Oh man, yeah. Well, I would just, you know, maybe one day you'll get noticed on that, hopefully, but
yeah, and it is what it is, but I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that was weird, and then I saw he like his trademark jabroni's been a fucking word in the wrestling business forever,
right?
It's crazy, man. I don't see how people can claim shit like that when it's not really, like, you didn't come up with that. He came up with it to use in a promo because, I mean, nobody back then would have exposed that word, really, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, no. I mean, you know, because the Sheik, didn't he say it all the time? Like, you jabroni, you know, Iron Sheik.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he did. So guess where I'm going to be on Friday?
SmackDown?
No, come on, man, come on. So where am I going to be on Friday? I'm going to be in Glasgow, Kentucky, at the Crow's Nest. I think they also call it Yancey's Upstairs. It's a bar. They have live music. They have different acts. And the act that they're having this Friday is going to be Chase Stevens and myself telling some crazy road stories. And it's going to be, I think, a lot like I do on here. it's going to be R-rated. And if you have virgin ears, please do not come. I don't want to offend anybody. But be telling some wild ones, some of them I've told on here, you know. And then hopefully some people will show up that hasn't heard this before and might come listen to us afterwards. So,
yeah,
that's where we'll be on Friday night, man, 7 to 9. 7 to 9. That's I think Glasgow is on Eastern time. No, they're on Central time.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well,
7 to 9 Central. And then the next day, I'm going to be just up the road in at Caverna High School in Horse Cave, Kentucky. That's going to be the Caverna Super Show 24. He's done 24 of these things, man. These
wow.
The news coverage, and there's a meet and greet from 4 to 7. I'm going to be a part of that. Chase, Chris Michaels, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, and Hillbilly Jim.
Yes, don't go messing with a country boy.
Yeah, man. So, and then there's the show at 7 o'clock. A lot of good wrestlers on there. Chase and Chris are going to be wrestling. The rest of us guys, I'm the youngest one out of them that ain't going to be wrestling. That's pitiful. But out of Scott and Hillbilly. But
right.
But I got an excuse. I just had surgery. By God.
Right.
But anyway, man, it should be a really good show. Like I said, it goes once a year. He does it. It goes to the Caverna Athletic Department, and that doesn't mean just the football team, like, you know, a lot of shows do. This will go to everybody. So
right, that's
it's good. A good deal, man. And that's where I'll be on Saturday. So got some wrestling this weekend.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a big show. I know he always has a big show every year like that.
Yeah.
And that's very cool, man. I'm glad you're involved, and you can get some gizimics out to the people and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
Yeah.
I'm still working, man. Those wrestling buddies are coming, and I've seen the pictures. They're done. It's just they're en route or whatever, shipping, and it comes from China and all that mess. So I was hoping to have them by then. I don't know whether I will or not, but anyway, stay tuned on that.
We can
order them from here, too.
Slam buddies. That's super cool.
Think I'm wrong on that. And Jeff will kill me. Jeff Dino will kill me for saying Slam buddies. I think that's the other brand.
Okay.
I'll probably edit that out, too. But
okay.
Yeah. Okay. They're the little JC Ice Wolfie D pillow buddies is what I'm going to call them.
Pillow friends. Yeah. Hey, ladies.
And they're double-sided. On one side is me. On the other side, it says, fuck the other guy. Just kidding. It's and I did the artwork on them, so. Cool.
That's very cool. Yeah, they look awesome. Girls, if you ever wanted to have the chance to sleep with PG-13 and you missed out on it back in the day, now's your chance. You got them both one time. Yeah,
that's it. But you know, when you go to sleep and you lay them down, you know, you flip on one side, flip. Just make sure that Wolfie's always on top.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to trademark that.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, we got John Schuyler on the show, homie. I'm excited about that.
We've run our mouths a little bit more than usual here at the beginning. So if you want to, we'll go pick him up in the car and take a little road trip. Want to?
Let's do it. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we're back, and we're about to pull this car over, Jimmy. We're going to let one of our hitchhiking friends in. We got John Schuyler. Let's pull over, and let's allow John Schuyler in the Wolfmobile.
Let's do it.
Hey, does the Wolfmobile have seat belts?
Yes, it does. It does. I was ejected one time in a wreck, so I usually wear my seatbelt these days.
That's good. Well, I'm happy. I feel like this is going to be a good car to be in. I've had my fair share of road trips. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah. Nice.
So, how's it going, man?
Man, everything's good. TNA Wrestling is back. It's officially changed back from Impact Wrestling, and we just had a good weekend of TV tapings in New Orleans, and next weekend we're going to be in Windsor, Ontario, Canada again. So they're keeping me busy, man, and I'm just enjoying the ride, much like the one in the Wolfmobile.
Hey, I never really understood, man, because they changed the name from TNA to Impact after I was gone. I never understood why they did that. It always sounded weird saying it, because when you say a wrestling company, it's usually three letters, maybe four. It just never sounded right, talking to marks or people that don't even really watch wrestling or anything. You say, you ever heard of Impact Wrestling? No. It just didn't roll off the tongue. I'm glad they switched back to TNA.
Yeah. And it's always really, I think, been deep down. I think to a lot of people that have followed it since the beginning, it is TNA. It's always been TNA.
Exactly.
So just like you said, there were a lot of times when, I first started with the company in 2021, where it was Impact Wrestling, and I'd be talking to fans or people that maybe haven't watched wrestling in a while, and I'll be like, "Yeah, I wrestle for Impact Wrestling," and they would be like, "Impact Wrestling," and I'd say, "It used to be TNA," and they go, "Oh yeah." So I think the change back has really done a lot of good for us across the board.
Good.
Yeah. Who? How'd you get into TNA? Who got you in?
So it's a funny story. I had come off of an ACL injury, during the pandemic, and I had a lot of different options of places to go. Really. It was actually the first time in my career where I had to make a choice, which is what we all strive for when you first get in. And, finally I've got these different opportunities falling into my lap, and I was really helping, my buddy Luke Gallows, who runs, some indie shows down in Georgia. Well, he was using a lot of the people from the Impact roster, like Dreamer and Damore and Josh Alexander and a bunch of other people on a regular basis. And they would do these like seminars for guys to get looked at, local guys for possible TNA tryout or Impact Wrestling tryouts. Yeah. And I was just the guy that I volunteered to kind of be the guy to walk people through the drills and I helped with the seminar in that regard. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of weird. It was just Dreamer and Damore and everybody else they're like, man, this guy really knows what he's talking about. So, snowballed from there, where I did a couple of those indie shows against Rich Swann and Josh Alexander, and Damore and Dreamer were there. And I think it was the match I had with Swann where right afterwards they were like, yeah, I think we're going to make an offer and bring you in. So
that's awesome.
That's how it happened. I spent about 6 to 8 months there, and then my contract wasn't renewed right away. And then I ended up finding my way back just a couple months later. And, I love it. I'm happy there. I'm getting to the opportunity where there's a lot of the guys that I've wanted to work with since I started. I'm getting the opportunity to wrestle the Chris Sabins and the Alex Shelleys and Frankie Kazarian and people like that. So it's been a cool ride.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool, man. And I love what you said, though, about, we strive to be able to, basically, in my mind, it's like, I loved it when I got to the point in my career where I could tell motherfuckers no.
You know what I'm saying? That's just good.
God, that's so good to be able to go, nah, I don't want to do that one.
Yeah.
That's not enough money.
Yeah, that's yeah. Or you give them the FU price.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Lord, some of these independents are just, thankfully the independents have come along even more than, you know, when I first started, because when I first started, man, the independents were on its ass and it sucked. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And now it seems like there's a good to great indie company, or at least a few in every little area now. And so anyways, yeah, man, some of these indies, though, you'll end up doing and you don't really want to, but
you give them
the FU price where,
I'll do it.
There's no way they're going to go for this. And then when they do, you're like, oh, damn, I guess I got to go do it.
Must cut his income taxes back or something.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. All the big shows will pop up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and who broke you into business, man?
So I started in Columbia, South Carolina with a journeyman guy named Bob Keller. He still trains people. And he's a guru of everything, man. Like he taught us how to put up a ring, he's done sound rentals, cage rentals, referee, managing, wrestled. Like he taught all of us how to kind of be prepared to do a little bit of everything if you're needed on a show. Mm-hmm. So man, like I couldn't have asked for a better original trainer. And then as I got going, you know, and you get in the cars and stuff like that, the guy that really took me under his wing in that regard was Steve Corino.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah. So he's kind of like my wrestling dad in the terms of like, I can pick up the phone at any time and call him. And even though he's in WWE and I'm in TNA, it doesn't matter. I'll still send him my matches, ask him for feedback, ask him for ideas. And so he's just been like really one of my bigger supporters since I started in that regard.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Good person to learn from.
Yeah. You got a little history with him, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've known him for a while. I don't know that we ever worked together.
Yeah, you did. There's a match. Yeah, you did. Yeah, because it was right around I remember more than Wolfie does. I know you worked him once, but anyway, yeah. Great guy.
Where was that at, Jimmy?
I want to say the East Coast, the Upper East.
I got you. My memory's jacked up, man. You know that. Yeah. Now, John, man, everyone else knows.
Yeah. Hey, man, my short-term memory is bad, too. So is my short-term memory.
Yeah. But, hey, and if you talk to Steve, he should not feel bad, because my best story about how bad my memory is and remembering matches involves Dusty Rhodes. I did not remember that I had ever wrestled Dusty Rhodes before. Is that right, not
that's just wild, terrible? Dude.
But then come to find out, the whole deal was it had snowed that night. It was a Jimmy Valiant birthday bash or something, and it had snowed. It was in Kentucky. And they were getting ready to cancel the show, but Dusty was like, "Nah, baby, let's go." You know, he wanted to give the people that showed up, you know, a little something, something. So we were trying to hurry and get out of there.
Man, that Jimmy Valiant birthday bash is a great gimmick, because I think I just did like his 81st birthday bash.
Really?
Yeah. That guy really knows how to put over his birthday.
he's a birthday guy for sure.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, going back to like TNA and kind of the current stuff right now. So I did Slammiversary 2 years ago. They brought me and Mitchell in, let me be in the Battle Royal, treated me nice, all that stuff. Do you feel, and what are you? You're like 36, is that correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And so you're kind of in the middle there of the older guys and then the new guys. Do you feel that there's a rift? And I'm not saying just in TNA. I'm just about in the business in general, wherever you go. Do you feel like there's a rift between the young guys and the old guys now?
I feel like that rift's kind of always been there, right? Even probably before your generation, I'm sure there were guys that came along before you that were.
Well,
like,
yeah, I guess somewhat. But I'll tell you this. This is the way I think about it. Like, I would always listen to them now, and I would usually do it, or you'd get stretched. I mean, there's not a lot of stretching going on anymore, and you know, you can't teach hard lessons anymore. But in that regards, I think there was like jealousy. The older guys didn't want to lose their spots, but I'm saying, like, you know, they think the younger cats don't think that the older dudes know what they're talking about. Does that make sense?
I definitely think that's the case. And I also think that there's just a lack of overall social awareness now. I mean, and I'm talking about all the way across the board in society, where like you have any answer you could possibly want at the touch of a button in your phone.
True.
like that causes people just to kind of turn off anytime anybody tells them anything. But you know, I know, like, when I was, again, coming back from the knee surgery, I got to work a lot with Arn Anderson mm-hmm. and his son, Brock.
Yeah,
and, you know, I practically helped train Brock when I was coming back from the ACL injury. And, man, there's, you know, I'm sitting there just jonesing because Arn Anderson's the first wrestler I ever saw live. And, Township Auditorium in Columbia, South Carolina, December 30th, 1993. Long story. But I'm sitting there listening to everything, man. I'm kind of like marking out a little bit, you know, but
yeah.
Here this guy is working in the ring with me that I just have a tremendous amount of respect for. And mm-hmm. then I would see sometimes him give other, you know, younger guys advice, and they're stopping them mid-sentence, and I'm getting fired up because I'm like, you dumb sons of bitches, you guys do not know what opportunity you have right here in front of you to learn.
Right.
Yeah. This is something I never had, you know, when I was their age or whatever. So I don't know if it's necessarily a riff per se, but it's like I tell guys too, man, like eventually when you do this long enough and you get enough reps, you're going to figure out what works for you and what you're good at and what you're not good at. And so like, I've had opportunities to like get a lot of knowledge from Dr. Tom Pritchard and Jerry Lynn. And I find all that stuff like just as valuable, like stuff from Arn, as I would do somebody like Alex Shelley or Chris Sabin or Frankie Kazarian. But the thing is, hey, Jerry might tell me one thing that works really well for me. And just for an example, like maybe Shelley will tell me something different and that doesn't really work for me. So you just have to kind of like figure out, I guess, what works for you, but it doesn't mean not to listen at all. Like everybody has something to offer, I think.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And my theory on everything was like when I got into wrestling, okay, 16, 15 mm-hmm. years old, I would always watch myself. I see a lot of guys talking about, oh, I've watched this and I'm watching that and it's nothing. And they're not in it, you know? And I always felt like, I've seen enough wrestling growing up where I kind of know what I want to become, and I want to see how my shit looks. If my shit looks bad, I'm taking that out of my repertoire. I'm not doing that no more. So I've watched myself more than I've watched anything once I got into the business. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, because sometimes, like, I mean, yeah, sometimes you can see, like I don't take good cross bodies for whatever reason. I've never taken good cross bodies. Can't figure out why. And when the first time I saw it, I was like, oh God, like that doesn't look good at all. So now I try to steer away from guys giving me those like in matches. Cause if I'm going to take something, I want it to fucking look good. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
but
at the same time, sometimes you need somebody to tell you it looks like shit too.
Absolutely. So, don't do that. Please, God, don't do that ever again.
Stop throwing them shitty forearms, man. Like, if you can't throw them, just don't throw them.
No. I've never been a fan of the four. I'm a Memphis guy. You know, if you go to Memphis, you better learn how to punch. You ain't getting over.
Yeah, but like, isn't the forearm essentially the new punch? I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm not even trying to start a war here. I'm just saying the forearms, that like forearm shutter kind of thing kind of seems like it's the new punch anyway.
It kind of is. But, and I hate that though, because at the same time, if you really want to break it down, the closed fist is supposed to be illegal and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't guess anything's illegal in wrestling anymore. But the open hand slap is supposed to be legal. Yeah. But I just think though, it sucks that it's going to be almost like it's going to fade away for good. You know, the punch, a good punch, you know, there ain't going to be no more Lawlers.
Man, you just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, like, you're talking about punching in Memphis, man, like Lawler had that punch. Even Double J had a good punch too.
But that flipper.
The other thing too, is guys would fucking sell back then.
Right. Like,
I see so many times on TV now where like guys are trading those forearms and neither one of them are budging or selling a thing. And my psychology is if I hit you, Wolfie, as hard as I can with a forearm and it doesn't rock you at all, I'm going to think of something different to do. I'm not going to do 19 more of them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah. Doesn't make a lot of sense, and that's another thing that kind of sucks, and I don't want to get on a roll of bashing like the evolved product But yeah, man. And here's the thing. I watched Elimination Chamber. I don't watch a lot of I don't watch Raw. I don't watch none of the shows. Every now and then I'll catch a pay-per-view. And I'll be honest with you, the past couple of WWE pay-per-views that I've watched, it was good. I thought it was good. That eliminate the men's chamber match, that was a hell of a match, man. Great psychology. Everybody sold. I mean, I hear everybody talking about nobody selling, and I think that also has a lot to do with social media, because indie guys and all that, they're putting their high spots to go viral. That's it. They're just showing their high spots. You don't see the rest of it. And, you know, I know that on the indies, some of them don't, sell and know what the fuck they're doing. But I just think that the WWE, there's nothing wrong with that to me. Now, AEW, on the other hand, I've seen some of that stuff. And I just my personal opinion is they're doing a little much. But
here's my thing. And I'm going to say this real quick, because I recently noticed this. And I'm sorry if I'm late to the game on this. But I really feel like a lot of it is the camera work by WWE. Like, they, you know, where AEW might linger on a guy a little longer, WWE will cut away from like the kind of uncomfortable point where they're maybe maneuvering a little or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like the camera work is better. And that's what maybe makes you not think that it's a little awkward in certain stages. That could be me, though. But I just noticed it recently.
I mean, I would agree in certain parts of that. Yeah, but I just mean like overall.
Sure, sure.
It's just I don't think it's as bad as people want to make it out to be.
But, well, no.
Yeah, and it's I actually think in totality, I think wrestling's kind of becoming cool again.
Yeah.
We have a lot of cool stuff going on in terms of companies working together. Just like the celebrity crossover appeal that seems to be like, I mean, WWE's always done that well, but it seems like, you know, with everything going on in the business right now, I feel like, wrestling's kind of becoming popular and cool again.
Yeah.
You mean it already wasn't?
It's done that. It's done that for years, though. I always heard that when I, got in the business. I always heard that it goes in cycles, man. Every so many years, it'll peak. And then because you also got your, I don't know that there will ever be. Let me just ask you this. Do you think there'll ever be a Hulk Hogan, a Stone Cold, a Rock? You know, because I don't think any of these guys are. I just don't.
Yeah, it's hard to say, just because I feel like when somebody, and this is just my personal opinion, I think when somebody is getting close to that level, they kind of get cooled off. And I think that's by design, because I don't think any wrestling company might want somebody to become bigger than that said company. So I feel like that's just been a strategy that I've seen across the board at a lot of places now. And then when people go, well, that, you know, nobody's going to be ever as over as Steve Austin. Well, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. And I feel like that might be a contribution as to why. It's just when somebody's getting to where they're at that peak or they're at that point, they kind of get cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, they pull them back. You're not bigger than the business there, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, here it comes. Hot tag.
I'm taking the hot tag. So I'm going to go back a few years back. 2011 at NWA Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest, you worked an R Flair, but instead of Rick. And I heard you talk about Brock Anderson earlier, and you also worked Reed Flair. I would love to hear about that.
Oh, man. So Reed was me and Reed didn't know each other very long, but we actually made a lot of road trips together. Within the span of a couple of months. And that kid was so funny. I don't know if you guys ever had the pleasure. He was so funny, man. He was just like, we took a road trip to West Virginia one time, and he was like, hey, man, here's $20 for gas. Mm-hmm. And he gave me like $20 cash, whatever, because we were driving my car or whatever. And we get up the road a little ways, and he goes, hey, man, if we see a fireworks thing, can I have my $20 back? And I'm like, what? And he goes, you can't not stop at a fireworks stand. And I'm like, what? Like, it is just. So then we ended up stopping off for gas, and he actually took the $20 back so he could buy a scratch-off lottery ticket, and then he won. And so I'm just like, dude, you're just tripping me out, man. And then we get a little bit further up the road, and he says, "Hey man, can you stop at some point? I've got to get some strings for my wrestling, my wrestling shoes." And I go, "Oh, you mean you just need to buy laces for your boots?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Then why didn't you just fucking say that? Why did you say like strings for my wrestling shoes?" Like, yeah. I'm like, "What?" So, but I'm not, anyways, working with him was fun. You know, he still was, he was getting ready to go to Japan, and, you know, when he had his head in the game, man, he was a lot of fun to work with. And like, especially when you get to do it at a place like that, like the NWA Fan Fest, because there's a lot of old school fans that do remember his dad. And I mean, I think that one, it was really easy. I was just like, "Hey man, these people are here because I hate it. And it probably made him feel bad, but I was like, the people kind of want to see the greatest hits.
Right.
And, I feel bad because I don't want you to do all this stuff if like you wouldn't do it, but you're like, if you just tease the figure four, these people are going to come unglued."
Right,
and that's, that's kind of what we did. I mean, we had a good time. Just, you know, I miss him. He was funny. He was a funny cat.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I ever had the opportunity to be around him, man.
It's just a shame that you never got to see the, for many reasons, for him passing away, it's a shame. But what I mean is it's a shame we never got to see the fruition of what could have been, because, you know, obviously Charlotte has kind of gone on to legendary status. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I feel like that was kind of the path that he was taking, you know?
Yeah. So we met Charlotte we would train with her a little bit too when she first started, and Reed knew she was going to be good. Reed would often make jokes about, "Well, I'll be carrying your bags here in about 10, 15 years and stuff like that." Like, so he knew that she was going to be a can't miss prospect, and he was proud of her too, you know?
Yeah.
One more funny story about Reed. We did a show one time somewhere in Virginia, and we got stiffed on pay. I mean, it always happens eventually, but, we were driving home, and, Reed gets a call from Dad. So I'm kind of like marking out a little bit because I'm driving. And Reed doesn't have his dad on speakerphone, but he's like, "Nah, yeah, it was a good show, Dad, but we didn't make any money." And then you hear Flair on the other end go, "What do you mean you didn't make any money?" he's like, we got stiffed on pay. And he goes, "What's the guy's name? I'll find him and kill him." And you hear Reed just got the quote of the night was, Reed finally goes, "No, Dad, we didn't get paid. That's why it's called pro wrestling."
That's good. So,
that was always my favorite Reed quote.
Well, I'm going to say this, the low key element of what I just figured out from you is you have a pretty good Ric Flair impersonation.
Yeah.
Dang good.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I always wondered, and not to knock the guy, but I did work with him, was the David. I wonder, how can your dad be Ric Flair, your Charlotte, and then Reed, and how could David be so bad?
I think it was just he got thrusted into it right when he was just unprepared. And at that time, too, that was like when the most people ever were watching wrestling. So I think he just got dealt a bad hand, man.
I really wonder, though, like, because you know how when you work with somebody, even if say you're training somebody, I can tell pretty much right away if you're going to have a clue or not. You know what I mean? But just touching them, feeling them, you know, feeling how they move around. And just like I said, I probably wouldn't say this had I not worked the guy, but it was like, wow, this is Ric Flair's son, for God's sake.
Yeah. David was a great guy, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he,
Yeah. But I mean, who was probably, Wolfie, would you say was probably like the guy that you, I mean, I'm talking about like wrestling on TV, that was just completely incompetent and unprepared? You're probably like, I mean, again, you don't have to talk illy about it.
I'm trying to think, man. And I've told Jimmy this 100 times, man, and other people as well. But like in Memphis, man, the dadgum job guys were fucking terrible. I mean, I mean, like horrible. You can't call them enhancement talent. They couldn't enhance nothing. I mean, it was bad to the point to where, like, if I'm training somebody, I literally will, because I actually had to like
shoot do moves sometimes, you know, especially like wrestling type stuff, you know, and that helped me be able to teach other people how to do it. Cause you know, I literally would have to almost arm drag them or headlock take them over, you know, but I don't think as far as like that bad unprepared in the bigger companies, I don't think I ever encountered anybody like that.
You deserve a medal for taking your life in your own hands working on Ahmed Johnson all those nights.
Yeah, that was another one that was, thank God I didn't have to actually, though, wrestle him. It was just a feed in for a bump here or there, and he almost killed me twice doing that. But
he's the only man to hold the legs down on the doomsday device. So, he's sitting on Ahmed's back like you would normally animal, and where animal would like push the legs off, Ahmed didn't quite push his legs off. It was almost like he was holding his legs.
Oh, no.
I landed kind of like on my head and on my shoulder. And I actually, we had him on here, and I made sure to bring all that up to him. He's going to get hot or not, but he didn't. He laughed.
He laughed.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer. All lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This guy means the world to Wolfie and I, and I would just love to, because there for a while, just after, you know, you worked Ric Flair, you actually worked for Billy Corgan's first pro wrestling company, Resistance Pro, and there was guys on there like Rough Crossing and stuff, but you also, did you ever work with our buddy Josephus at all?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I did. I worked with Josephus a couple times. And he was just a great guy too, man. Like, I was so shocked when he passed, but, favorite Josephus story was it was for Billy, but we were shooting this reality show that never came to fruition. But we went to, Minneapolis, Minnesota for a show. Mm-hmm. And man, I was like, those days I'm talking like, I was like still paying dues and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. You know what I mean? Like, so I was just getting by on like free catering and stuff like that. Yeah. But there was one night, I think it was the last night we were staying in Minneapolis. This random pizza got delivered to my room and I thought it was just one of the boys ribbing me or whatever. Yeah. So I was going to, spin it back around, no sell it or whatever. And I was going to take the pizza downstairs and be like, "Hey guys, I got all this pizza. If anybody wants any of it," And then it turns out Josephus ordered the pizza and had it like delivered to my room, and I didn't find this out till later, just because he was like, you know, he was like, "Hey man, I wanted to make sure that you got something to eat in you, because I knew you didn't, you know, you weren't making a lot of money." He was a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
That's him. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time. Dutch trained him, but then I kind of hands-on to, you know, took him everywhere with me and would usually work him wherever we went and stuff. And he ended up, he was tough to work with sometimes, but he got good. He got good.
Yeah.
And he looked just like Bruiser Brody too.
Yeah. I mean, he did. And even so much they used him on Dark Side of the Ring, which I was stoked about that. Anytime, you know, I wasn't like super crazy about the question mark gimmick. But then somebody kind of told us and put some perspective on it was like, well, he's getting a shot. You know, it may not be what you like picture, but he's getting a shot, you know, and that's cool. And, you know, the only twisted thing I have about that is when they carried on the gimmick after him. I didn't really love that. But again, maybe that's just me liking Josephus more than I do the company. But anyway, another question I have here. I noticed that, you know, a guy that I worked with a little bit in the business, I was a manager in Nashville. That's how I met Wolfie, Lottie Da. Corey Hollis, you were actually a tag team with him called the Bruiserweights. And was that a name that you all had before you went to NXT, or did that happen while you were there?
To backtrack a little bit, sure. I did a wrestling tour of China, Hong Kong, and Singapore.
Yeah.
Back in 2015.
Okay.
And me and Pete Dunne were on that tour together, and they put us together as a tag team. So yeah, me and Pete Dunne actually came up with the name, and me and Corey were kind of using it on the indies. And then when we did some stuff for NXT, they kind of loosely referred to us as the Bruiserweights, but then okay. Pete started and they put that gimmick on him.
Yeah.
And you know, it's cool. It's whatever. Like, I'm still super thrilled for him and his career.
Sure.
You know, it's just, we kind of got away from it after a while after they put it on Pete, because it's so funny. Like, people, wrestling fans are so silly. Like, they'll be like, oh man, I wonder if there's any heat there. Like, whatever. No, dude, we came up with the name together in a hotel room in China.
Wow.
It's perfectly okay. So, but me and Corey teamed together for a while, and they were using us on NXT quite a bit because they were getting ready to start that Cruiserweight Classic. And we were kind of guys that were kind of penciled in for that. The reason we were told we weren't ended up in it was because they didn't want too many Americans. They actually kind of wanted it to feel like the World Cup of Cruiserweights.
Gotcha.
So they kind of just used us in like an enhancement role. And, you know, we did stuff like WrestleMania Access, and we even did a couple house shows, which were awesome, because that's a great experience too in of itself. And like, and they pay more, or they did back then, with the than just a normal TV taping. But and I got to wrestle in the Township Auditorium, which is the first building I went and saw Arn and wrestling in as a kid. So I got to wrestle in my hometown for WWE, which is something I never thought would ever happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I remember the first time I got to, honestly, though, the fairgrounds, I think, meant more to me than, like, you know, the Gaylord and stuff. But I wrestled the Gaylord and the Municipal and the fairgrounds all in my hometown of Nashville. Those are special things, man, when it's your hometown, and the little kid kind of comes back out in you, don't it?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I've got to do the Township, and I got to do the Spartanburg Memorial Coliseum, where they used to tape like Crockett and stuff like that as well. And they actually still have one of the old Crockett rings in the attic of the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium, because the building just owned the ring for some reason. Because they did TV there so often. So the ring is actually still there. It's broken down in the attic. But, yeah, you can find it if, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I like those little – so there's something about those smaller, intimate buildings.
Oh,
especially if you got to see wrestling there as a kid like I did, man. Like, it was really a dream come true. So,
especially
being a guy that's a little bit undersized and, you know, don't always have the best body. I'm not the flashiest, whatever. But I did a lot more than people ever thought I would do in this business. And that's what I kind of hang my hat on.
Go ahead.
Definitely. Yeah.
And you never know with this business, you know. I think the question's been asked on here before, like, or we've asked somebody, I can't remember, but like, okay, so when I was in OVW, did I think that Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, all these guys that are now, you know, superstars, did I think that they was going to be good? No. I mean, not that they were the shits, but I'm just saying, you don't look at somebody and, oh, yeah, that motherfucker's going to be a superstar. I don't think. I've never seen anybody that just first impression was, you know, through the roof, unless they were seasoned, you know. But when they first start, very hard to tell. The Rock did a damn cartwheel. I called a damn, and I don't care. I've said this 100 times. What his book says, his first match in Memphis was on a Friday night before television the next morning, and it was against me and Jamie as the Cyberpunks, him and Brickhouse Brown. And I called something, and it was going to end up, I reversed his hip toss, give it to him. And he instead of just taking a hip toss, he like put his hand down and kind of cartwheeled and landed on his back. And I walked over to Jamie and I said, did you tell me this was Rocky Johnson's son? And he goes, yeah. I said, he's the shits. And now look.
Who'd he ever beat?
Yeah, who'd he ever beat?
Well, I have to mention this real quick, too, because you brought up Brickhouse Brown. When I was over in Europe the first time, touring over in the UK for Brian Dixon, we still had, like, DVDs and portable DVD players and stuff back then. Like, wasn't a lot of streaming stuff, but whenever we would get bored on the road and we wouldn't have anything else to watch, we would watch 3 shoot interviews. We'd just get tanked on Jack Daniels and just have a laugh. And it was Brickhouse Brown, Honky Tonk nice. Man, and you and Jamie.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Which one was last? Which one did you watch last?
No,
when
I mean,
you were really
we watched
good
them all multiple times.
No. Yeah. You know, during that thing, I don't know if you could tell, but he was really on my nerves because we showed up to this thing. He was I lived in Nashville. That's the guy came there and did it, and he had to come from somewhere. I can't remember, but man, he had been out all night. He ain't been to bed. I'm not going to, you know, say what I think he was doing, but, well, you know, I can guess. But at any rate, he was getting on my fucking nerves, man, like so bad during the thing. There was kids. We were like in this room, but then there was a lobby out there. There's all kinds of kids and stuff out there. And he's just loud and cussing. And I was like, I swear to God, man, if you'll notice, I start scooting over to where I can't scoot over any further. There's a wall there. And because you keep. He kept touching me and shit, right? And in my head, I swear to God, I was thinking, I'm going to punch this motherfucker right here on camera, and this will sell like a motherfucker. It really went through my head that I was going to punch him. I swear to God.
Well, you showed a lot of restraint. And for, for everything anyways, I'll say this, that your annoyance was my entertainment.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Glad I could help.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think Jamie's still trying to live down some of the things he said in shoot interviews, so we'll go with that. But you know, one thing we haven't had a lot of current guys on to where we could ask this question, but it's something that I was always really curious about, especially because obviously the business went on, even though it slowed down in certain cases during the pandemic. It slowed down. How was it being on the indies during COVID, man?
So I have a bit of a unique story because when the pandemic started, I want to say I had just flown back from the UK, and as I was flying home from the UK, everything was shutting down,
man.
Like international travel. So I was trying to get home, and then I actually had a WWE tryout scheduled for a couple weeks after I got back. And the day like everything really hit the shit hit the fan with COVID, we were at the Performance Center, and like we were getting ready to start our tryout, and they literally flew us all in to do the medical. And then they flew us all right back home because we couldn't use the PC for a tryout because they had to tape Raw, SmackDown, and then eventually WrestleMania. So I tried to go home. I was kind of bummed out because, you know, you have to train hard for those things. And so that's what I did. And then it got canceled. And so I'm back home. All the independents are shutting down, canceling shows left and right. Yeah. And then I got a text to see if I wanted to come to a tryout at AEW because they still were operating down in Jacksonville because they were considered essential workers by the state of Florida.
Yeah.
So I went down there and did like two or three tryout matches, and that's when I tore my ACL. Mm-hmm. So I was out for like 8 or 9 months, and that 8 or 9 months I was out was pretty much that entire pandemic run. So I didn't really have to wrestle a lot during the pandemic.
You timed your injury well, man.
Yeah, that's what everybody was telling me, man, because it's the only real major injury I've ever had in wrestling. And I mean, I tore my ACL, my MCL, and my PCL doing a forward roll, like a Ricky Morton roll underneath a clothesline.
Really?
Like, that's so stupid wrestling is all the stuff that I put my body through, the crazy risks that I've taken at times.
Yeah.
You know, and then to get hurt on something like a forward roll is just completely asinine to me. But
that works.
Yeah. Everybody was saying there's no good time to get injured, but if there was a time to get injured, it would probably be during the pandemic.
I would have hated to have been wrestling during that, when there was no people in the audience and all that shit. Man, God, I would have hated that. Because, you know, the people getting the adrenaline and all that stuff, you know, it don't hurt near as bad.
I mean, again, I don't know how guys did it either. I mean, it was just a weird time, and I hope it's a time that we never have to experience ever again.
Amen. Amen.
I do remember, you know, watching some of it, and a lot of things, man. I guess it was, again, the way I was broke in, and I had wrestled in places that there was hardly anybody there. So I always learned to be vocal and stuff. So when I'm watching these guys, you know, on TV wrestling, and there's nobody out there, and they're not making noises, and, you know, how you would in a real fight, and, you know. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that I really noticed, was that a lot of these guys didn't know how to do that, which, you know.
Yeah, it's funny.
Experience shit, you know?
Yeah, they did that one WrestleMania in the PC with no people, and it was funny because Bryan Danielson wrestled Sami Zayn, I think, and their match was so good, and I was telling my buddies, I was like, you could tell those guys right there weren't in an armory in front of no people before.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
well, so I want to talk about current TNA, man. So, you know, obviously I've always been a big fan of TNA, from the Disciples of the New Church, America's Most Wanted, to, I mean, the era that, you know, I've always made time to watch TNA, and I really do think y'all have a stellar product right now. I'm a fan for sure. I'm definitely enjoying, you know, I love that you have a certain amount of, you know, you Tommy Dreamers and the Bullies and those guys, you have those, but out of the TNA guys, I guess, let me say this a better way. Who do you feel like is the Undertaker of the locker room for you all?
I would have to say off the top of my head, probably Eric Young.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess. Yeah.
Because EY, first of all, you know, me and him have become great friends. I hate to keep harping on the knee surgery and the ACL injury, but he was my first match back from ACL surgery. And so I just have all the time in the world for that guy. But he also is that guy that commands respect too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do something that like he'll warn you in a way where it's so calm, but it's like, hey, you know, don't screw up again type deal. But everybody respects EY. Like I would say he's definitely that guy. I know him and Kazarian are probably the longest tenured guys still on the roster. Yeah. But you know, EY is definitely, and Kazarian too, they're both like 1A and 1B, you know, of locker room leaders right now. And you know, Frankie's especially, you know, he can be a good voice of reason for a lot of guys, because Frankie himself has been through a lot of the changes right there with, you know, TNA and AEW and everywhere Frankie's been.
Yeah.
So he's a good source. So there you go. I guess that's two answers.
Yeah. And okay, now my next question is, other than John Skyler, of course, who is someone that you feel like is going to break through and be the big name in TNA coming up? I mean, is there somebody you can tell is like, okay, this guy's going to be here 20 years from now or whatever, wherever he's going to be?
Yeah, again, I'll probably go with two answers on this one. First of all, I think Jake something. I don't know if you guys have seen him.
Yeah, yet. I do. Great guy.
He's a huge athletic dude, man. And if he, you know, continues to put the pieces together like he is, I could see him being TNA world champion. Like, in a year or two.
That's awesome.
I think really highly of him and his work. And then there's another guy that's fairly new. He's been doing a lot with New Japan, but his name's Kevin Knight. And this kid is a freak athlete. I mean, he can literally, like, I think if I stood flat-footed, excuse me, I think he could clear me. Like, I think he could jump both feet right over top of me. Like,
wow.
You guys are talking about the Road Warriors earlier with the doomsday finish.
Yeah.
You can put a guy on your shoulders like you're going to do that finish. Kevin Knight can flat-footed stand and drop kick a guy off your shoulders.
No.
Holy cow.
That's what kind of athlete he is.
Yeah.
So I think, if Jake Something's the next big breakout heavyweight star, I would see Kevin Knight as probably being the next big X Division star.
Yeah, because Kevin kind of reminds me of Elix when I watch him wrestle. You know, he's got that just ridiculously almost like his athleticism and his mind are one. You know what I mean? You can just tell he's in so much control of his body, you know.
I never thought of that. But, yeah, that's a great comparison, him and Elix Skipper, because Elix was just a freak athlete, too. Those are my, and the whole roster too right now, man. You got hungry young guys and girls.
Yes.
You got experienced veterans that, like, you know, yeah, we have Dreamer and Bully Bubba, but we also have D'Lo Brown.
D'Lo, love D'Lo.
And you know, we just brought on Ace Steele, who also has a, you know, he's got a great, he's mine for this, and he's been producing. We've got Lance Storm, who is just incredible. And then even guys like Rhino,
yeah.
And, you know, again, Shelly and Saban, and there's just so much experience in that locker room that the business is definitely, no pun intended, in good hands.
I'm
just amazed at how PCO is the age that he is and doing the shit that he's doing, man. I'm like, golly, man.
Yeah.
I know how I feel right now. I can't, what is he? He's close to 60, is he not?
Yeah, I think we did the math not too long ago because he had this crazy ass match on pay-per-view with Steve Macklin.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the math and we realized that PCO is only like 2 years younger than Dave Penzer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's 70 something. Yeah, I mean, almost 70. Yeah. Wow.
Some Gypsy Joe shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but isn't his gimmick kind of a Frankenstein? I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, just he's taking some bumps that a dude that age shouldn't, I don't think, should be taking. Hell, I couldn't take him right now. But
he loves it, though, dude. I mean, he's the one pitching all that stuff. Every time I've worked with him, because I've worked him a couple times in Ring of Honor, I worked him a couple times now in TNA, and like that's all weird PCO wanting to do that stuff. Like, he likes taking those chances and.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like you said, I couldn't do it at 36. I don't know how he does it at his age.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. Jimmy, what else you got, man?
Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Good question. I have always considered myself to be a little bit of a lifer for pro wrestling now that I'm in it. I mean, I've had other jobs, you know, I freaking taught middle school for 8 years.
Wow.
And I don't foresee myself ever going back to working or doing anything else. And that also comes along with the fact that, like, I think I've been pretty successful at this now, and I don't foresee myself doing anything else. But, you know, it's hard to say, you know, my contract's coming up. I still got a little bit of time left. So, you know, I'll obviously explore options, see what offers I have out there. But, I'll still say this. I'm hopefully, you know, even it won't take 5 years, but hopefully me and my tag team partner can win some TNA tag team gold before it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't know, I'll still be wrestling in 5 years. I hope, knock on wood, but I can see myself in a producer or a coach's role as well at some point, because I feel like, just the mentors that I've had over my career that I've kind of listed off here and there, you know, I feel like they would all probably vouch that I have the mind for this. And again, I just don't really foresee myself doing anything else, any other kind of line of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what subject did you teach, real quick?
I taught middle school English and social studies. So I actually graduated from the University of South Carolina and got my teaching degree to teach English and social studies. And I did that for about 8 years. and then got furloughed during the pandemic and just never went back.
But, you know, man, talking about training wrestlers, I mean, if you're a teacher, because if you're a natural teacher, you can do it. Because there's guys that are like really good, but they not good trainers, you know?
Yeah.
Big difference.
That's what I always heard. I mean, I love Bobby Eaton. I was the biggest Bobby Eaton fan ever. I love him to death as a human being. But it was hard for Bobby sometimes to articulate something to somebody.
Exactly.
He would just be the kind of guy that would just grab you and do it because that's just what he did. And he just had those instincts. But he had a hard time sometimes like articulating a message to somebody of how to do something. So, but Bobby Eaton, my God, has got to be top five greatest workers of all time in my opinion.
I mean, top one, if we want to say it. I mean, seriously, he's the best, you know, he's great. Yeah,
he's great. And a hell of a person, man. Hell of a person.
Yeah. Yeah. He's incredible. I knew him very little, and what he's done for me is immeasurable compared to, you know, what he's done for everybody else. To me, you know, he's an incredible guy. And honestly, the world lost someone major when he passed away, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that is absolutely for sure. So, John, we're coming to the end of the show here. I'm gonna have to kick you out the car, but before I do, you owe me some trans, and then I'm gonna go ahead and plug your stuff, man. Where can people find you? Where can they buy merch? Where can they do all that?
Well, I slipped you $20 cash earlier, but I'm going to need it back for fireworks.
Yes, I was going to say that. Oh, my God.
That's what we call a full circle joke right there.
Yes, right. The long game. I like it.
I'm a big Larry David fan, if you could tell. Nah. Anyways, I'm on Twitter, the John Skyler, Skyler. Same thing on Instagram. I don't really do Facebook or anything like that. I got a YouTube channel that people can subscribe to where I kind of put up classic matches, promos, current stuff too. So that's really where, you know, I'm at on social media. And then obviously I encourage people to follow TNA Wrestling as much as they can because things are getting ready to take off again for us. We've got a lot of new deals, new markets, a lot of things that are in the works right now where you're going to start seeing TNA pop up in a lot of different types of entertainment media. So we're all really excited about it. And so if you don't follow me, I'd say follow TNA Wrestling. And then also you can probably see me at a local independent show somewhere near you whenever I have a weekend off.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, brother, we appreciate you coming on, man. It went quick, man. Usually sometimes I'm like, good Lord, man. Was it,
how much we still got 30 minutes left.
That just means we got to do a part two.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jimmy, I guess we're going to take a break and we're going to come back with Ask Wolfie Anything.
Yes, we are. That's it. But first, thank you, John.
Yeah, no, appreciate you, buddy.
I got to say this, man. You're the first one, and we've 130 some episodes in. You're the first one that we've had taken to the next level that got it approved. So many guys say, oh, I got to talk to this guy, and they don't get it approved, or they just don't. We don't come back to it or whatever. But so we feel
that's
like
with
my you,
fault because I always think they're kayfabing.
Right.
So I'll be honest. I don't like doing a lot of podcasts just because I don't feel like I really have a lot to say. I'm not going to be able to bury people like I want to or anything like that. I'm guilty of being that guy sometimes that says, okay, I'll go get it approved. And then that's just kind of my way of politely telling a lot of people. But in all actuality, a lot of it depends on the followers too. Like sometimes they don't let us do it because they feel like, you know, somebody's trying to build an audience off of TNA as opposed to whenever we have to go through the process, like when I had to deal with Ross and everything, he was just kind of like, do you want to do it? And I go, honestly, this is one of the few podcasts that I do want to do because I've never really got to chat with Wolfie. So,
I appreciate it.
And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. So it's not always that easy, but
right.
I mean, I had fun. And again, I would love to do
That's
it again
awesome.
Sometime.
We will. Awesome, yeah. Man. Yeah. There's plenty more to talk about, but I just wanted to say thank you for being our first breakthrough talent. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, we've had Jerry Lawler on and Ricky Morton, and I mean, great names that have been Road Dog, but you're the first one that we got approved. So thank you.
Yeah. Good, man.
Well, I didn't want to get in trouble.
I understand. I like it. Yeah.
You got my phone number, man. You can holler at me anytime.
Yeah, keep in touch, man. Make sure you heal up. No more accidents in the garage, all right?
No, man. No, I'm awful. PCO, PCO in my house.
Yeah, all thanks right. so much, guys. And
yeah, thank you. Take it easy, man.
Thanks, John. Yep. Take care, man.
Yep.
All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And first off, man, let me just say this. John Schuyler is cool, man. He is wise beyond his years, man.
He's got a good mind for the business, man.
He really does. He's very intelligent, you can tell. And he's hilarious. And, I mean, there are some stories he was telling in there about how, you know, I feel like he was, you know, because, you know, right around 36, he said he was 36, 35, 36, you know, that's kind of about when you're becoming a real veteran, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And where you can actually, but at the same time, you're still young enough to do all the stuff your mind thinks of.
You can right. get your pride, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you would say, honestly, you would hope your 30s are like your money-making years, right? I mean, your 20s or your early 20s, that's your years you're working and busting your butt. Yeah. Your 30s, you should be kind of raking it in as much as you can. But I'm just happy for him, man. He's in your hood, TNA. It's very cool, man.
Yeah. So, glad to have him on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool guy. And we'll have him back on for sure. He's got more in him, I can tell. So as always, we got some good questions. You know, one of the questions starts off like this. It's Kelly Kerr from Facebook, and it says, do you prefer doing Wolfie D or Slash? And how do you prepare differently depending on who you're wrestling as?
Well, it's funny. I like doing both of them, really. And like when I was doing Slash, I loved doing Slash. And that's what I kind of feel like as a kid, that's the kind of wrestler I wanted to be. But at the, you know, because being a Road Warrior fan, and Slash was, you know, a little bit along those lines. But they're as big as those guys. But, you know, I could be a lot bigger than a lot of my opponents and stuff. So I got to wrestle more aggressively and I guess more of a stronger style, you know, and wild and crazy. But at the same time, man, you know, Wolfie was what got me over and got me noticed. And I love that too. And I love the fact that people still appreciate it, you know? So it's a different vibe now, just depending on, you know, most of the time now I just go with Wolfie anyway.
Right.
Because like I said, that's what got me noticed. So, and as far as preparing, I think I've been doing this long enough to where it's not too big of a stretch to, you know, have to like, you know, okay, all right, don't be Wolfie, you're Slash. Don't forget. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to come out dressed as Slash and stuff around or anything.
Where's my hubcap? Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of preparation in it, because they're both kind of sides of me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wolfie's, I guess, more of the good side of me, and I've had some relationships where they might tell you that Slash is the actual bad side of me. So.
Well, you know, if you're like me, and it's kind of surreal, too, because when I knew you, you looked like Slash, but you weren't calling yourself Wolfie D, because you were kind of at that point where the TNA run was over. You were due the Cerebus gimmick coming up, but really, when it came down to it, you looked how you looked, and that was more Slash-like at the time, but... Yeah. Everybody called you Wolfie D. I don't remember anybody saying, hey, Slash, you know.
Yeah, so. And it's like my last name is Wolf with an E. And
right.
I'll tell you where that name, the Wolfie part came from, was when I very first started, and I was calling myself Airwolf. You know, I think I'm trying to remember, like in school, like some teachers might have not said Wolfie, but they just... What I do remember is there was a referee named Mike Norman when I first started, and he'd say, "Hey, Wolfie," and I don't know, for some reason it just caught on, and everybody started calling me Wolfie. And
okay, yeah.
Then when I got ready to do Wolfie D, I just said, "Sir, Wolfie D."
Nice. So,
yeah.
I mean, I assumed that was a bit of a lifelong nickname, you know. So
yeah. Or just Wolf or whatever, but yeah, Wolfie. Right. Started by a guy named Mike Norman.
Wow. Do you know what time frame would that have been? What year?
Yeah, I'd been like 17 or something. 18,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay, gotcha. So right around that time. Yeah, gotcha. That makes sense. Well, yeah. I think where people, you know, where the listeners and fans of pro wrestling don't exactly understand that sometimes, you know, you're not sitting in the back cutting yourself, like sacrificing a goat in the back. You know, you're just getting in your mind. You're like, okay, I'm going to do these things. And since I'm doing this gimmick, you know, it's kind of how I'm preparing. So, you know, you're not actually, it's not like a movie, even though.
And honestly, as I've gotten older later in my career, it all kind of started, no matter. Well, like I said, Slash don't dance around, but Wolfie D can do Slash's shit, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, totally. Of course. All right. Well, that was a good question. Thank you very much. And the next one we've got is from Lynn Damien on Instagram. And this is so funny that we've talked about New Jack a lot recently. And also we've talked about The Nation on this episode. So this question is, would New Jack have worked in the early days of The Nation? He has mentioned before that he thinks he and Ron would have clashed over the leader spot. So what do you think about that?
I don't see too many people clashing with Ron on anything, and that actually like lasting or being a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I may have clashed with him, but that didn't work real well.
Right.
So I don't know how much truth there is. I don't remember hearing that you know they reached out to him or anything. I think I don't know if you just said it or that he said that they had reached out to him or something. I don't know about that, but I mean. He was more gangsta, you know, and The Nation was more of a militant group, you know, kind of right. Like Nation of Islam and Black Panthers and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know what role he would have been. It wouldn't have been the leader. So where do you put a guy like him in that side of that kind of group? I don't know.
And I mean, you on the microphone or as what you and Jamie were doing, that's really, you know, taking the big bumps, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't
know. He wouldn't have wanted to do that. He wouldn't have wanted our role, you know?
Right.
Been too small of a role and too close to being like a jobber for him.
I mean, he might have been able to replace Clarence Mason, but I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that
some kind of ghetto lawyer.
Yeah, I know it wouldn't have worked because, you know, he's and I can't see him dressing like, I don't know. I just it recently came up on an episode. This is where I heard it. Recently came up on an episode of Dark Side of the Ring Unheard. It's like the podcast that's based around that show. And the guys, they brought that up. I was actually flying back from Vegas and I heard him talking about this. And then, of course, this question comes through. So I'm assuming it's kind of a popular conversation right now is New Jack, you know, talking about being a member of The Nation or if it was ever an opportunity. And I think something about Cornette about it, and maybe he said, look, hey, you know, I would have wanted to be the leader. And first of all, he had never been in WWF ever at all. And I don't think that was ever anything they wanted him to be in. And I just can't see him going automatically to the head dude spot, you know? No, so
I can't either.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it would have worked in theory. Sure, on paper, it's a black dude and a black faction. Why not, right? But
yeah.
I don't think it would have worked, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just my opinion. And I agree. The gangsta, I don't know how many Bloods or Crips have ever been in the Black Panthers. And I'm sure there's some crossover somewhere, like, I quit the gang and I'm now a part of the Nation of Islam or whatever. I'm sure that's existed and happened. Yeah. but it just wouldn't have fit his style or anything. I mean, you know, I could have seen them working against each other easier than working together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. And then plus, where would it have fit? Who would have who would not have been there had he been there? You know,
right.
So I don't know. We'll see if there's ever a alternate universe that we get to live through. You know, we'll see if it happens there. But
right.
Other than that, yeah. All right. Well, the third and final question for this episode of Ask Wolfie D is White Boy Ricky Bobby on Twitter. He asked this question. He says, is there a wrestler you personally hated at first that you ended up becoming big friends with?
Well, I've discussed before that before I really met Jamie and just seen him running around the fairgrounds, I couldn't stand him.
Yeah. Right.
And then obviously we became good friends, and I don't know what we are these days, but that would be fun. And let me think, somebody that I fucking hated. Damn. I don't think there's anybody, like, once I got in the business, I hated them. I don't really think that would be a thing. I might have thought somebody was the shits, but as a person, I probably didn't hate them for that.
Sure. Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of it. That ain't my personality to just
right.
If I don't like you, I'm probably still not gonna like you, and because I've already got a good reason why I don't like you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not good at playing that bullshit game of just be nice to your face or whatever. But I'm also not gonna be a jack off to you unless you've done something personally to me. So
right.
I can't think of anybody that I just did not like and became friends, big buddies with, you know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, I recently had your ex-tag team partner, Jamie Dundee, on the Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling podcast, which is out now on all podcast platforms. I asked him, I said, what were your first thoughts of Wolfie D, right? Yeah. Because we've heard this from you. And his was like, well, you know, when I first met him, he was Airwolf, and he was going by DJ Airwolf. And, you know, and we wrestled each other. And I was like, because, you know, he said, well, you know, I didn't know Wolfie was in the crowd hating me. And it's like, well, of course you didn't. But right. What I mean by that is, like, you know, what was your first, you know, opinion of Wolfie? And he was like, I thought he was good, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but anyway, if y'all want to hear more Jamie, go check out the episode. It's kind of like a part three to our two episodes, you know what I mean? So yeah. A little less PG-13, but that was because we've talked so much about it. But anyway, long story short, I could see where that was one. You know, well, this is a totally kind of at the end of that question there. Mm-hmm. I've recently gone back and listened to some of the episodes of your buddies from I hadn't heard some of these episodes on the Colt Cabana show. And, mm-hmm. you know, I listened to the Danny Davis episode. He's had Danny Davis on. He's had mm-hmm. Flash Flanagan on. He's had Tracy Smothers on. And he's had Buddy Landell. And, man, that Buddy Landell, that is one that is like, man, I'm so, you know, other yeah. than the obvious reasons that he's gone, yeah. man, that would have been a great episode to have Buddy on, you know. Golly, sure. man. Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely funny. And if he's telling the truth on everything, it's pretty funny, you know. Oh, so, yes. But anyway, that's all we got for today. So
we again appreciate you guys listening to us. And don't forget, if you're anywhere close to Glasgow or
Horsecock, Kentucky, Horse Cave. Sorry.
Cave. Excuse me.
My bad.
Saturday, I'll be out that way. Come check out one of the shows. If you want to laugh on Friday night, come to Glasgow. And if you want to see some wrestling and meet some wrestlers, come to Caverna High School on Saturday night. And I hope to see you there.
Yeah, make a weekend of it. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will holler at you guys next week. We'll have another good show for you. And again, like I said, we always appreciate you listening. Go hit subscribe on the YouTube channel. Even if you don't listen to us on YouTube, just go on over there and hit it anyway.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys. And we'll holler at you next week.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street, and the plastic chic, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
For your dome. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. Plum rush your mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N-O-D and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while when you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from over on board later. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. Gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh. I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.